Contains adult content, which could include sexual behavior or exploitation, misuse of alcohol, smoking, illegal drugs, violence, and dangerous behavior. This book includes content that may be distressing to readers and listeners, including descriptions of suicide or self-harm. Chapter 1. Joe's Funeral. Joe's funeral was 3 days after his murder. Maya was wearing an uncomfortable black dress. She had been to over 100 funerals, but this was the first time that she had had to wear black, and she hated it. Joe would not like it either. He preferred her military clothes when she had been Army Captain Maya Stern. He had been so handsome. They had gotten married just 1 year after meeting, and Lily came not long after that. To her right, Joe's family, his mother, Judith, his brother, Neil, and his sister, Caroline, looked tired and sad. To her left, her and Joe's 2-year-old daughter, Lily, was getting bored. There were hundreds of people at the funeral, and Maya thought, Joe would like this. Joe liked people. People liked Joe. But many of them were also here because the story had received a lot of attention. Joe belonged to the great Burkitt family, and he was the husband of a woman who had been involved in a well-known scandal. Judith Burkitt took Maya's hand.
This, she said, is even worse than Andrew's funeral.
It was the second time that Judith had been at the funeral of one of her children. 2 of her 3 sons were now dead. The first one, Andrew, had died in an accident. Maya looked down at Lily and thought about Judith's pain.
It's my fault, Maya said.
She had not planned to say it. Judith looked at her.
There was nothing that you could do, Judith replied,
although there was something strange in her voice. Maya understood what it was, because others were probably thinking the same thing. They were thinking that Army Captain Maya Stern had saved many people in the past, so why couldn't she save her own husband? Maya thought about the night in Central Park with the gun, the sound of shots, and Joe falling. There had been blood all over his shirt as she ran out of the park calling for help. She closed her eyes and told herself, "Don't think about it now." At the end of the funeral, all the guests came to say goodbye to her. The last people to come were her sister's husband, Eddie, and Daniel and Alexa, her nephew and niece. But Maya's sister, Claire, was not here, because 4 months ago, someone had murdered her, too. Maya said to Alexa, "Sorry that I missed your last soccer match, but I'll be there tomorrow."
"Oh, you don't have to come," Eddie said.
"It's okay. It'll be nice to have something to do," said Maya.
Maya hugged Eddie, Alexa, and Daniel, and was watching them go back to their car when she noticed the New York police detective, Roger Kearse, standing by a tree. He was investigating Joe's murder. She thought about going to talk to him, but decided not to. Then Eileen, Maya's oldest friend, drove her and Lily home. Lily fell asleep in the car, so when they got to the house, Maya carefully carried her out of the car.
"Can I come in?"
Eileen asked.
"I want to give you something."
Inside the house, Maya held the gift in her hand.
"A digital picture frame?" she asked.
"Yes, and I've already put some photos of your family on it. But it's also a nanny cam. There's a secret camera inside," Eileen said. "When you're at work, you want to be sure that Lily is safe, don't you?"
"Well, yes," Maya said.
Eileen took the picture frame back from Maya and put it on the bookshelf in Lily's playroom.
"The camera will take a video of the whole room,
but it only records when people are moving, she explained. Lily's nanny was at the funeral, wasn't she?
Isabella? Maya asked.
Yes, she was with her mother and brother. Her mother used to be Joe's nanny, and her brother, Hector, is the Burkitts' gardener. Do you trust her? Eileen asked.
I suppose so. You know me, Maya said.
Yes, I do know you, Eileen replied. You trust no one, Maya. And we're thinking about your child. That's why I'm giving you this. When you want to watch the video, you take the SD card out of the picture frame and put it in your computer.
Maya smiled.
I don't know why I didn't think of this myself, she said.
Call me if you need anything, Eileen said, moving to the door and opening it.
Oh, someone is here to see you.
She hugged Maya and left. The visitor was Detective Roger Kearse.
I know that it's not a great day to visit, he said. But you're going back to work tomorrow, aren't you? I just want to discuss the night of the murder again.
Maya was unsure what to think about Kearse, which was probably what he wanted.
Come in, then. What would you like to know? She asked.
Let's start at the beginning,
said Kearse, taking a notebook out of his pocket.
Why did you meet Joe in Central Park that night?
We were talking on the phone, and he said that he wanted to meet there, Maya replied.
Was this normal?
Asked Kearse.
We used to go there sometimes, yes, Maya replied. It's a nice place.
You described two men wearing black ski masks who came into the park. Am I correct?
Yes.
You said that one man wore a black sweater, jeans, and red shoes. He was the one who shot your husband. The other man wore a light blue t-shirt and black running shoes, and they both had guns,
said Kearse.
That's correct, she replied.
You said that they wanted to rob you, but Joe was slow to give them his money and his watch. Why was that?
Have you ever had a gun pointing at your face, Detective? Asked Maya.
No.
Then maybe you don't understand, she said. When someone points a gun at you, sometimes you can't move because of the shock, which is what happened to Joe. They were both silent for several moments.
Perhaps it was an accident, and the robber didn't really plan to shoot?
Asked Kearse.
No, it wasn't, replied Maya. It's not an accident when you shoot someone three times.
Kearse nodded and checked his notes.
The first bullet was in your husband's left shoulder, and the second hit him near his neck, although those shots didn't kill him. So what happened next?
I already told you, she said. I tried to hold Joe. He fell onto his knees. I didn't see the third shot.
That's right,
Kearse said slowly.
Because you were running away.
Inside her head, Maya suddenly heard the sound of guns, a helicopter, and people screaming. She shut her eyes and took a few deep breaths.
Yes, I ran, okay? I ran away from two men with guns and left my husband. She stopped.
No one is blaming you, Maya.
I know that, Detective, said Maya angrily.
Kearse looked at his notes.
You said that the gun that killed Joe was a Smith & Wesson 686 revolver, and the other guy had a Beretta M9. You remember these details very well.
I was in the army, said Maya. I know about guns.
You also own several, and isn't one of them a Smith & Wesson 686?
He asked.
Yes, but you know that already.
According to New Jersey state law, I have to report all the guns that I buy. So of course you checked that immediately after Joe's death. So can we stop playing games and hurry up? She said.
From where Joe fell, how long does it take to leave the park?
Kearse asked. The change of question surprised Maya. I'm sure that you already know, she said.
Yes, I do,
he said.
I can run out of the park in 1 minute, but you're younger and healthier than me, and it took you longer. We talked to some people outside the park who said that they saw you running out at least a minute or two after the third shot. How do you explain that?
Do you think that I shot my husband, Detective?
Did you shoot him?
He asked. No, she said. And I can prove it. I train with guns all the time, and I wouldn't need 3 shots to kill a man. Kearse actually smiled.
Can you show me your guns?
He asked. They went down to the basement, where Maya showed Kearse her gun safe. You have to use your fingerprint on the lock, said Maya. Only Joe and I could open it. Maya opened the safe, which had several different guns inside. Here's the Smith & Wesson 686 revolver.
May I take it with me?
He asked. Why? She asked.
Don't worry. I don't think that you shot your husband,
he said. Detective, said Maya, you're not telling me something. Kearse smiled.
I'll contact you soon.